cultivating a healthy new venture through an alternative enterprise. And still be discussing a set of materials that we've put together as part of a regional project a couple years back now. Rod Sharp is here from Colorado State University Extension System and was one of the authors of those materials, as was myself and a few others from the Western region, but a series of program materials that help you to look at alternative enterprises and try to decide through a stepwise fashion whether or not those will work for your situation. And I guess I should say that I'm John Hewlett with the University of Wyoming Extension Service. I've been on campus there at the university for, I guess, about as long as Rod has been in the Colorado Extension System, just over 20 years experience. We've been working with folks primarily in commercial agriculture for a long time, but have developed this course and a number of other courses to try to help support folks that are doing smaller agriculture and that are exploring alternative enterprises. So that would be enterprises or business activities that are either new to them or a change in a traditional activity to try to market perhaps to a new market or to try to develop a new product from an existing kind of a marketing or product development cycle. So with that, Rod's going to talk, and I think I've got a few things to say at the end. So please join me in welcoming Rod to Wyoming.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today, and we had a nice crowd show up. That's even better, so it makes this fun. I think I have the toughest job, though. If you're a speaker, you never want to be on right after lunch, right, because everybody's real sleepy and have that. So my job is try to keep you awake, and I got some clickers here. We're going to do some quizzing and stuff to hope you keep you involved and keep you awake. So that's our goal, is to have it exciting enough to so you enjoy yourself and keep you awake. Like John said, this is a project that we worked on together, and I think it's a pretty good program. I've used it a lot in Colorado. We had a group recently that I worked with of lavender growers. We have a big movement in our Grand Valley, and I live in Grand Junction, Colorado, of a lot of people growing lavender for a lot of different products. And so we went through a series of kind of analysis, feasibility of growing this alternative enterprise using this product, and it seems to work pretty well for those. And I think it might be beneficial to you if you're thinking about a new venture. So what we're going to do here is kind of have an interactive portion on here. But what do we mean by an alternative enterprise? And basically, it's just doing something different than you traditionally have. I think we had one of our presenters here, Greg, was doing like cow-calf and hay and stuff here, and he wanted to go to a whole new venture of doing raspberries. So that's really what we're talking about, is a new alternative enterprise, which basically is a new business, isn't it? You got new markets, you got new inputs, new machinery and equipment requirements and everything. So basically what we're thinking about here is just growing or raising something new and different. So if he was raising raspberries before, then raspberries wouldn't be the alternative enterprise, would it? Maybe cow-calf would be. So what may be an alternative enterprise for you may be a traditional or conventional enterprise for somebody else. So why are people thinking about doing something different? Why would you consider doing a new venture in your business? Well, basically, it can be probably one of four reasons. Primarily, a lot of people are trying to increase their profits doing something different. Okay? Maybe they want to reduce the risk that they have with their current enterprises that they're growing. Could be that they have some additional resources around that they're not using that they want to utilize, so they're going to do this new enterprise to use those resources or better take advantage of those resources. Or there could be some other reasons you want to do it for that are specific to your own needs. Typically, when we first started talking about this, we kind of defined alternative enterprises. And these are some examples that you might kind of relate to. It could be an alternative livestock enterprise. For example, if you're doing cow-calf, maybe you want to look at bison or elk or a lot of different things. It could be an alternative crop enterprise, a different crop than you're not typically growing. Agritourism or recreational enterprises are also a part of that. Could be something new and different that you may want to try to generate some profits from. It could be an alternative production system. Maybe you're doing your cow-calf enterprise, but you want to do it in a natural beef as opposed to traditional conventional beef like you've been doing. So it could be just something new and different from the production side of the system. It could be that you're just going to market things differently. Maybe instead of marketing through auctions, you're going to do direct marketing to the consumer. That would be a new venture, wouldn't it? Okay, so there's a lot of ways to do a new enterprise. And if we look at here, there are even you can do some non-farm or non-agricultural type enterprises on your farms. Okay, it could be storage systems, could be outdoor classrooms, entertainment, all sorts of different things. A lot of different things we can do with our farms and our resources. I think an important thing to remember is if you're increasing an enterprise, let's say we want to do an alternative enterprise over here, we want to increase this enterprise, what impact will it have on your other enterprises? Okay? It can have one of three impacts. Number one, it could be competitive. So if you increase this enterprise, it's going to reduce the value or reduce the production of this enterprise. So they're competing against each other. Okay? You can have enterprises that really have no effect on each other. If you increase this enterprise, it doesn't really impact this one, so they're kind of supplementary. They're just adding on, okay? Or thirdly, they could complement each other. We're going to increase, by increasing this enterprise, it actually increases the value or the production of this other enterprise. So be thinking of that relationship, and that may help determine what enterprise you want to get involved with. Okay, so here's where the fun begins, okay? Let's say we're all owners of a small farm here in eastern Wyoming, okay? And we currently produce and sell weaned calves and hay. That's what we have done for years and maybe even generations, okay? That's our family background. So what we want to do is try to increase profits and maybe better utilize our resources as a management team. So we're all on one management team. We're one big, happy management team. We're going to work together to try to increase our profits, okay? Everybody agree to fill that role here for a minute? Okay, so what I'd like you to do with your little clickers that I handed out here, they look like calculators, but actually they're kind of a personal response system, so I'm able to poll you guys and see what kind of input we want to do from a management team standpoint. So let's say we're wanting to look at an alternative enterprise, and just from your own opinion, what would you like to do? Okay, would you like to do an alternative livestock enterprise? Would you like to do a different, maybe an agritourism or a recreation enterprise? If you do, you'd punch 2. If you'd like to do an alternative crop, 3, an alternative production system, maybe go organic or maybe natural, then you do 4. Punch 5 if you want to do an alternative marketing system from our cattle and hay, or a non-agricultural enterprise. So just take a minute here and we'll punch in your answer, 1 through 6. Yeah, just press 1. If you want to change it, you can up to the time I push the button, but just push 1, and it's a radio signal. It's not like a TV. You don't have to point it at it. Just hold it and punch the number, and you should see a little light. If you see the light flash, it should record your answer. So, looks like we've got about 31 in. So this is going to be, we're just kind of polling our management team to see, okay, what do you think we want to do in relation to a new enterprise here? So let's go ahead and see how we voted here. Oh, a little diverse group here, don't we? So I was hoping 100% would go in one area that we could decide easily. So we have about a quarter of you wanted livestock, another quarter about alternative crop. We had the most was an alternative production system. So let me reset this. And let's say we limit it just to those 3, okay? Alternative livestock, alternative crop, or alternative production system. So let me reset. Give me a second here to reset. Okay, just vote for livestock number 1, crop number 3, or an alternative production system number 4. We'll try to narrow this down a little better. So I want 1, 3, or 4. Okay, let's see what we got here. Well, the number 1 came out to an alternative crop, okay? So who voted for alternative crop? Okay, can you give me some ideas what kind of crops you want to think about? Okay, like sunflowers, safflowers, okay? What are other ideas that people were thinking when they punched in alternative crop?
Actually,
Lavender was another one here. We're trying to narrow this down. We're a big team here, I know, but we're trying to narrow it down. So we got sunflowers and lavender. Any other crops that you're thinking about? Some berries? Okay. Okay, let's just do a show of hands. Who would want lavender as an alternative crop? Five. We got about five or six. How about berries? About the same. How about sunflowers or safflowers? A few less. Nope. What about the rest of you? What kind of crops do you guys want?
We don't know enough about it. I don't know enough about it.
Alternative crop? Okay, let's just pick out one. Let's just say we're going to go to some berries, okay? We got a perfect live example here. He can help us through this whole process, okay? We're going to do some kind of a berry, okay? From here on. Okay. In the course itself, we actually have some checklists to help you kind of go through this process. So if you were going through this course, you would actually have a checklist, say, where do I have interest in, and it'll kind of narrow you down to where you're headed, okay? As this big group, it's hard for us to kind of narrow down because we've got a lot of interest in here, don't we? Okay, so now let's say as managers, we want to do a quick SWOT analysis, okay? What would our strengths and weaknesses be? These are internal factors. These are our own, you know, our land resources, our own management skills, those kind of things. What kind of internal weaknesses, strengths and weaknesses would we have for growing berries in eastern Wyoming? Okay? So get your arms up. Let's hear what our strengths are first. What kind of strengths would we have over some competitors? Yes?
Well, let's say we have water.
We've got a lot of water. Okay. That's good. That's good strength. Any other strengths that we might have? Yes.
Milder climate than the rest of Wyoming. Sure.
Okay, got milder climate than most of our other people in Wyoming. Any other strengths that we might have here? John?
Few competitors.
Okay, not very many competitors at this time anyway. As soon as we get all you guys into berries, we're going to have some competitors. <aren't we? laughs> What about it? Any other strengths we might have?
Good qualities.
Probably raise a good quality product. Okay, any others?
Population.
Okay, you got some population. What's that?
Yeah, kind of between Cheyenne and Jasper.
Yep. Okay, what about weaknesses that we might have here? What are our weaknesses that we might have, internal weaknesses for growing berries in eastern Wyoming?
Weather.
Can be. We had some talk of freezing here a time or two. I know that. What about any other weaknesses we might have?
Labor.
Yes. What's that?
Labor.
Not enough labor availability?
Well, growing.
Okay. Yes?
Actually, I was thinking, I disagree with the population base. It's actually right here, we're kind of far away from it.
Okay, now we have somebody think that maybe our population or numbers is could be a weakness. Okay? Any other
knowledge.
Weaknesses? Knowledge? Of growing, actually growing the berries? Okay? Good, those are great. Okay, now let's take a couple of minutes to just talk about the opportunities and threats. Okay? These are outside our own control. These are outside our business. Okay? What do you think the opportunities are out there for growing berries in eastern Wyoming? What are our opportunities that are beyond our own internal factors? Okay. Yes?
Local market, being able to sell in the local market.
There's a growing demand for local berry, okay? Any other opportunities you can think of? A lot of potential products demanded from berries. Okay, good.
I go to the farmer's market, you know, they want a big buck for a little bit.
So you think maybe make some money. Yeah. Profit up opportunities, huh? Anything else?
Using the internet to broaden your client base.
Okay, might be a good product to sell over the internet, huh? To a lot of broaden your customer base. Yes. Okay.
More interest in farmers markets.
Very good. A lot of opportunities I think we've identified. What about threats? What kind of threats would you think that if you did get into this, what are the threats of putting you out of business or keeping you from going in business? Okay.
Drought.
Pests. Okay? So we do have some threats, don't we? Okay? So this is kind of the first step. We say, okay, after we get to here, are we still willing to go further to determine if this might be feasible? Do we have more strengths and opportunities than we do weaknesses and threats? It's just kind of a gauge to say, okay, if you can only identify threats and weaknesses, then maybe you better stop here and think of a different one, huh? So it's in the course, you kind of say, okay, should I move on forward? This is just kind of the initial test. I think we've got quite a few strengths and opportunities, so let's move on. Okay, what we do in this course is talk about some different feasibilities that we need to look at. First of all, we're going to do a personal assessment of our own skill, or our own persons, okay? So let's talk about that briefly, okay? Basically, what I'm going to do, does raising berries fit within our own personal and family goals, okay? So you'll think about that. Do you have the personal characteristics to actually do to a new adventure like this? We're going to talk about that. And what about the business skills and knowledge of related to growing and marketing berries? So let's talk about that. There's been quite a bit of research done on what kind of personal characteristics are important for entrepreneurs. They've been talking about entrepreneurship and everything. And these are primarily the main personal characteristics that people that are successful have, okay? So look at that list and kind of rate yourself. How would you rate yourself as far as, do you have the personal characteristics to be an entrepreneur? To actually do something new and different that's beyond what you traditionally have done or historically have done? So look at that, and then I want you to answer this question. Do you have the personal characteristics to be successful? Number one, yes, I do. Number two, I am strong for most of the characteristics. Number three, I have some work to do. Or no, I don't. So could you answer that and just say, how would you rate yourself as far as those personal characteristics we just talked about? Don't be bashful. A couple of you haven't. There we go. I think that's about how many you had booked before. Okay, we're pretty strong here. We got a lot of people in our management team that have the characteristics to move forward, don't we? Okay? Very few that don't have anything. Okay? Some have some work to do. Can you raise your hand if you have work to do? No, just kidding. In the course itself, you actually kind of rate yourself like this. You know, we have the commitment, energy, self, so you could rate yourself, where do you fit? So if all your X's are on the kind of this left side of the chart, then you'd probably say, okay, I have the personal characteristics. If you're all kind of on the right side of the chart, which are below average or no, I don't have it, then you might consider, well, maybe I might just stay in the commodity markets, you know, and not worry about direct marketing berries in eastern in Wyoming. So, okay, what about business skills? You have what it takes to succeed as far as the business side of this equation, okay? We have accounting and budgeting, financial planning, analysis, market planning and awareness, risk management, labor and personnel planning, tax management, business organizational skills. So there's a lot of additional skills that might be required for us to move into berry production, okay? How would you rate yourself related to these business skills? Again, kind of the same numbers would relate there. Do you have these skills to be successful? Greg, would you agree it takes some of these additional skills? What we're trying to do is just, within our management team, do we have the skills in order for us to move forward from a business standpoint? Well, we have some that have all the skills, and some that are most of the skills, and a few have some work to do, huh? But as a management team, do you think this might just identify some areas we may need to get at least a little additional training, perhaps? Okay? So you don't have to have all the skills at this point, but it might help you identify, okay, I'm a little weak in this area. Maybe I should go to a conference or hire that help done somewhere or that kind of thing. So it kind of helps you identify where your needs are related to this. So we're going to move on forward. And again, this is kind of, we rate the business skills on the same kind of chart. You check, make a check wherever you think you fit on these things. Now, from a production assessment, let's say land, water, equipment, buildings, and skills. Do you have those kind of things in order to actually produce the berries in our on our property? Okay. Do we have the climate and growing season to grow berries? And also, what about production risks? Are there production risks that might prevent us from actually getting into this new enterprise? Okay, so you need to think about the actual production assessment. Now we're going to spend quite a bit of time, a lot of, as a part of this course, on the market assessment. Okay, who are our customers? Who do you think our customers would be for berries in eastern Wyoming? Who's our primary target audience for our to sell these products to?
Farmers markets.
Okay. Who else would be our target audience?
End users direct to the farm.
Repeat.
End users direct to the farm.
Okay.
You pick customers.
Okay. So we as a group, we need to find out who would we want to identify as our target market and kind of focus on that, wouldn't we? Okay. What is the market potential? So you'd kind of think about how many of those people are there. And is it a growing market? Is it a declining market? And those kind of things, okay? Then do we have a competitive advantage over our customer or our other competitors are actually doing berries? Okay, what kind of advantage there? We're going to spend a lot of time here. Are we producing the type of characteristics that our targeted market wants? Okay, do they want organic? Do they want just high-quality local products? What kind of characteristics do they actually want? Okay? And then also, once we got all that, what kind of marketing strategy are we going to do? How are we going to reach our targeted market through marketing? Now we're going to spend, like I said, a few minutes here talk about competitive advantage. I want to show you an example here. Typically, what competitive advantage means is we're better able to meet our customer wants and needs, okay, over our competitors, okay? It could be in product characteristics. It could be they want an organic product and we're producing an organic product. It could be they want a local product, we'd be the local market for them, okay? Maybe the preferred market outlet or distribution, maybe they want to buy it over the internet and we have internet access and some of our competitors don't, okay? It could be a pricing, maybe our product is priced at a level that they prefer. It could be our promotion is better than our competitors. It could be that they like our management and personnel, they like the friendly atmosphere that they come when they come to the farm and see our people that are waiting on them and taking care of them, okay? Okay, what do we mean by product characteristics? Well, it could be fresher, healthier, better flavor, better appearance. Could be a lot of reasons that characteristics that they're looking for. Distribution, easier access, more convenient location. A lot of reasons where the distribution may be to their benefit. Price. Just because it's the cheapest doesn't mean it always is preferred, does it? But how many times have you passed over the cheapest to go to a little higher price thinking the quality must be better or something? So you need to, that whole relationship of price and quality is kind of a science in itself. What's that? Right. You can identify what the market will pay you. Yep. Yep. Good point. In our course here, you'll actually go through an analysis on related to your competitors. And I want to show you an example here of an actual project that I work with in Western Colorado. I live in Western Colorado, okay? And it was a processed pastured chicken operation. Okay, their targeted market were ski resorts, restaurants, and we had Telluride was their primary market, but they also sold to another market over by Monarch Pass. Okay, these ski resort restaurants are the ones that actually bought these pastured poultry chickens. So actually, I added a couple of competitors. They had like three on here, but let's say the first thing they needed to do is to rank how important are these characteristics over here to these customers. Okay. Product quality, product availability, selection and variety, product characteristics, and product appearance. Okay, so they went through and said product quality is rated very high. These restaurants want high-quality pasture chickens, okay? They want product availability. They'd like to have it all the time, but availability of having it available to them all the time is medium importance. So they ranked it a 3 instead of a 5, okay? Then they went through and ranked selection and variety. Do they need a lot of different selection of different types of pasture poultry? Well, that's not that important. They just want high quality and have it available a lot of the time. Product characteristics. The pasture poultry image is what they were looking for, wasn't it? So they ranked that very high. They didn't want just a chicken off the shelf of Safeway, for example. Product appearance is important, but not as important as some of the others. And then they went through and listed all their competitors. Okay? Then they ranked, for instance, Bob here is their competitor number one. Okay? How would you rate his product quality? Well, they ranked his product quality as a 3. Product availability, a 1. So they went around and thought about each of their competitors and said, how would they rate them as far as the importance of these different characteristics? Then at the end, you kind of rate yourself. How do you think we would rate on these things? And of course, we rated ourselves the best, didn't we? But this kind of identifies, well, probably John's not a real strong competitor to us because he's not strong in the areas that are important, okay? Probably Diane over here is probably fairly strong. She's probably our strongest competitor because she has very high quality and she also has the product characteristics that this target audience is also looking for, okay? So it just kind of helps you, how do you fit in this whole thing? If you were the 36 over here, then this may give you an indication that it may not be feasible for you to actually get into this market because you're going to have a hard time competing with your competitors. Make sense? So it just kind of goes through that process with you. And you do the same thing with market outlets, pricing, what's important to your customer as far as pricing, promotion, management and personnel, those kind of things. So you'd actually go through that whole process on all those different areas. Yes, sir? Right.
Because you're going to say, of course, we have really high quality, and of course, we have great product characteristics. And you're knowing in your mind that Diane's going to come in either yesterday or tomorrow, and she's going to say the same thing.
Right.
But you're going to say, what really differentiates us is we've got availability. You've already done the homework, and you know you've got to point out your strengths. You're going to say, we've got availability.
We're a little stronger than your. Yep. Good point.
And I think it helps you to really.
Kind of rate yourself against the other competitors. That's great. Good point. Any other comments on that real quick? Yes, sir.
I'm a little bit confused as to exactly how you come up with the first call. I mean,
that's just your own assessment, okay? You've identified your target audience as the restaurants, okay? So you're thinking of the restaurants as your audience, okay? So what you do is say, how important is this restaurant? How important is product quality to that restaurant? So you can say, well, in my opinion, that's the most important, or one of the most important. So you'd rate it as a 5, okay? If you didn't think product quality, but having chickens available every week is more important, then you may put a 3 here and product availability is a 5.
It just seems like that's such a skewed.
It is, but you need to be fair to yourself and try to identify. You need to do a little research on what your target market likes, okay? Yes?
That's kind of what I was going to say. You could enhance the accuracy of that column by doing the research, by talking to your markets and say, how important is the quality? How important is it?
Yeah, it's important to know your target audience. And that's what we're getting at there.
I'm thinking maybe you'd let them do that, maybe.
You could actually have them do it. You could actually send them out of something or give them something, say, how important are these characteristics, and let them rank them. That'd be a good way to do it. John, do you have a comment?
Yes, I was going to add that. It is possible for some industries, some segments of industries, to find this information out that has been compiled by independent companies. In some cases, you have to buy it, but in other cases, it's public information.
Yep.
And in which case, you don't have to guess. But certainly, it's possible to either interview the customer, as we see it here, or maybe other people that are supplying or are thinking about supplying to a similar industry, maybe in some other part of the state, so that you kind of gain their insights. We have a fruit grower in here, so we might interview him about this enterprise we're talking about, because he's got experience, but it's in a different market, a different part of the state, but the customers would be looking for similar features. So there are, you know, some different things you can do, but it is also possible to put your own assessment down there as a starting place.
Good point, though. Okay, let's get back where we were here. Okay, then you also have the economic assessment. You know, is this going to be feasibility to meet my financial profitability goals, those kind of things. So again, you have your startup costs, et cetera, investment analysis, a lot of different things here, okay? And we're going to talk about some of these things. I always try to force some of this in there. If I just had a financial analysis class, there'd be three of you here and the rest of you would be at one of these other concurrent sessions. So I always try to sneak it in on you, whether you like it or not. Okay. Another thing I wanted to mention briefly is, you know, we've talked about a lot of different things, and it seems like a lot of things to think about, and they're kind of all jumbled and messed up, but part of doing a business plan is try to help you organize all this stuff and put it in a format that might be valuable to you to think about and also present to potential funders if you're thinking about getting a loan for this type of operation and those kind of things. And I wanted to talk about the business plan real quick. And there's a resource here that is put out by the University of Minnesota that's a very good resource for you if you're thinking about doing your own business plan, because it kind of guides you step one through step Z here and allows you to fill in these slots. But this is typically the arrangement of a business plan. It doesn't have to be exactly like this, but it gives you a feel for kind of what's included in a business plan. Okay, now here's my spiel about financial plans. Start. So bear with me here for a minute, okay? Basically, what I'm talking about with a financial plan is we need to have financial statements, which is primarily an income statement, a balance sheet, a cash flow statement, which one am I missing here?
Owner equity.
Okay, and basically what we're going to look at is these three, this financial analysis: liquidity, solvency, profitability, and financial efficiency. So, let me ask you a question. If you go to the doctor, what kind of indicators do they do that might indicate a potential problem, that you're having some kind of a medical problem? Every time you go to the doctor, what kind of tests do they give you? Blood pressure.
Weight.
What's that?
Weight.
Temperature. Anyway, they have their tools, right? Here's what I had. Typically, they'll take your blood pressure, they'll take your temperature, you'll take a pulse, maybe a respiratory rate. If something's, let's say your blood pressure's way high, does that tell them that's what's wrong with you? Not necessarily, it's just an indicator that something could be wrong, that they need to go further research to figure out what's wrong with you. Huh? Or your temperature. If you have a high temperature, that doesn't necessarily tell them exactly what's wrong with you, but means something's probably wrong. Well, these indicators here for financial health are the same thing, okay? We talked about liquidity, profitability, solvency, and financial efficiency. These are indicators, so if you have poor liquidity measures, for example, does that tell you what's wrong? No, but it tells you probably something is wrong that you need to try to fix. And that's we're just like doctors, we're trying to figure out what the problem is and then try to fix the problem. So what is liquidity? Okay, basically it is the ability to generate sufficient cash inflow to pay your bills when they come due. Has anybody been short of cash to pay bills at any time in their life? There are always certain times of your, certain years, certain months, certain weeks that you have tough time, seems like, paying bills on time, right? Well, what liquidity does is measure that ability to do that, okay? If you have poor liquidity, that means you probably have a tough time paying your bills, okay? So remember that. We're going to have a quiz here in a minute. Pay attention. Okay, we have some measures, you know, just like the doctor had the blood pressure. He knows what measures should be good for blood pressure. Well, we have some measures. We have a current ratio, and it's all it is current assets divided by current liabilities. These are two numbers off your balance sheet, right? If you take one divided by the other, you get a number. If that number is greater than 1.5, you're probably in pretty good shape. That means your blood pressure is perfect. Okay? If it's 1 to 1.5, that means could be a problem, possibly. However, if it's less than 1, you're probably having some problems. You need to do further research, figure out what's going on. Okay? Then there's another measure that uses the same numbers, it just subtracts it. Okay, and we can't really do a rule of thumb thing on this one because it depends on the size of the operation. If you have a very large farm or ranch, then this number will be larger. If you have very small, it'll be smaller. So you can't do the you just want one working capital as high as you can get it. Okay, solvency is our second measure. Okay, so what was liquidity? Kind of a short-term cash flow, whether you're able to generate enough cash flow to pay your bills, right? Solvency is more of a long-term analysis. And also, the biggest key on here is it tells, like if a banker's looking at your solvency, it would tell them, are you able to stand a drought? Are you able to stand a freeze? Are you able to stand some other adversity or other risks and still stay in business? Okay? So that's what solvency is, more of a long term. Are you able to, with a little adversity, are you able to stay in business? Or how strong are you to stay in business over time? And these are some more common numbers you probably heard of, debt to asset ratio. Again, if you take total liabilities divided by total assets, again, two numbers off your balance sheet. Probably all of you have to develop a balance sheet, don't you? Okay? If that number is less than 0.35, then you're probably in good shape. So what does that 0.35 mean? So if you just take that number and put a 1 on the denominator side, total assets equal 1, total liabilities would be equal to what? 35 cents. So that means for every dollar of assets that you have in your operation, you only have 35 cents worth of liabilities that you owe. Okay? However, if it's greater than 50 cents, then probably it's going to be an issue. Okay? Remember these numbers. Going to have a quiz here. And again, another solvency measure. Again, two numbers right off your balance sheet. Okay, profitability is another measure that we use. Okay? What is profitability? It measures the ability of a firm to generate profits over a period of time. So in other words, we typically think of a calendar year. Are we generating profits from January 1 to December 31st? Okay. A little bit different measure. And this is based, these are some of the numbers we use there, is rate of return on assets, rate of return on equity. Okay. These formulas, this stands for net farm income from operations, plus interest, minus owner and unpaid labor, which is typically your kind of your family living expenses, okay? Divided by average farm assets. Again, these are just two or three numbers off of your income statement and balance sheet. And again, if they're greater than 6%, greater than 15%, then you're probably in good shape. Got a question?
Yeah, I'm just surprised that
they are high now.
Okay, I was like, ooh.
Yeah, that was kind of if you have positive on those now, you're probably pretty good shape.
Yeah.
I think the way to compare these is what could you get from an alternative investment, like a savings account or a CD or, you know. And there aren't very many people are generating this kind of return on those kind of things at this point.
I mean, when you're seeing like return on assets, like say even positive.
Yeah.
1 to 2% is actually.
That's exactly right. You're right. These are longer term rules of thumb. So. Okay, financial efficiencies. These are probably my favorite. If somebody comes into me, these are probably the first thing I look at, determine how healthy their operations are. Okay? Basically, what we're trying to determine is how efficiently are we using our assets to generate revenues and profits? What are our assets that we're talking about? What are our primary assets that you have that generate your income?
Land.
Machinery.
Equipment.
Livestock.
Okay, so we're just basically measuring how effectively are we using those assets to generate revenue, okay? What about borrowed funds? How efficiently are we using borrowed funds if you're borrowing funds to generate revenues? And operating inputs. What are our operating inputs that you might have? What's example of operating inputs?
Feed.
Feed. water, fertilizer,
labor.
Okay? So how efficiently are we using our operating inputs to generate revenues? So let's look at these a little bit. Asset turnover ratio is measure our assets. So this says gross revenue divided by average farm assets. So this would say that if we're generating more than 25 cents of gross revenue for every dollar of asset, again, these may be a little high at this point, but then that means we're in a resilient, strong area, okay? However, that's less than 10 cents, then we may need to think about how are we able to generate more revenues with the assets we have, or maybe cut down our assets and have the same generate. So it's got to be some relationship of assets to revenue. Does that make sense to you? And then operating expense ratio. This is a real powerful one, in my opinion. I think the most people that are having financial issues are having operating expense over 80 cents. Okay, for every dollar that they generate of revenues, they have over 80 cents that are actually going toward their operating inputs. Okay? And then interest is, we hope to have it less than 10 cents. Okay, if you're over 20 cents, could be an issue. Okay, quickly, I'm going to do a quiz, and then we're going to, yes, sir?
So, I have a question. When you have somebody that's doing a business plan, you want them to bring in that information from a historical perspective so you can do that analysis?
Yeah, this is a little different than the new venture thing.
My question was, do you ask them to project?
But it'd be nice to project and see kind of where this is,
right,
so it kind of fit. Okay? But if you have historical information, that's better. So, or historical information from somebody else would be valuable to you too. So. Okay, you guys ready for a quiz? We've got to wake up again. Okay, if I ask you, what does liquidity measure? Farm profitability, short-term cash flow, long-term sustainability, or investment profitability? What was liquidity? See how effective a teacher I am here today. Got most of you answered here. 81% of you are correct. This 13% want to raise their hand? No, it's the short-term cash flow. Remember, liquidity was, are we able to pay our bills? Do we have the cash flow, inflow of cash to pay our bills when they come due? Okay? Now I want to show you the importance of a trend, okay? These are all liquidity measures. Year one, our liquidity measure was 5.01, okay? And what we're doing is doing current assets divided by current liabilities. So that means for every dollar of liabilities, we had $5.01 of current assets, okay? Year two is 4.69. Year three, it was $2.22. Year four is 2.21. Are these current ratios, is our cash flow improving or getting worse over time? One, improving. Two, getting worse. Everybody got their answer in that wants to answer? I'm getting fewer and fewer answers. Does that tell me something? I don't get most of you there. That's good. Okay, it's actually getting worse. The first year we had, for every dollar of liability that we owe, we had $5 to pay for it. Okay? The last year we had, for every dollar we owe, we only had $2.21 to pay for it. If you remember our rule of thumb, we'd like to have all these greater than 1.5. Are all these greater than 1.5? So if you went to the doctor and you looked at year four by itself, would you say that's good? It's greater than 1.5, not having cash flow problems, right? Well, what does the trend tell you? You're heading in the wrong direction, aren't you? It's getting worse over time. So if you could keep track of this trend and look at that, would allow you to make corrections before it gets to be a disaster, so to speak. A lot of people were going through this in the 80s where we had the ag crisis, so to speak. You know, they were having this, they had pretty good measures, but again, eventually it just dropped off, and but people weren't able to see it before it got there. Okay? So this gives you an opportunity to make corrections before you might have a disaster. Does that make sense? Okay. What a solvency measure. Again, the same four choices you had before. Profitability, short-term cash flow, long-term sustainability, or investment profitability. What did I say about profitability? It's more of a what? Give you a hint. You see why I have to sneak this in? Nobody come to it on their own, would they? Okay, we got most of you in. Good job. 97%. Solvency is, are we able to stay in more long-term measure? You know, it's all our assets and all our liabilities. So. Okay, here's a debt-to-asset ratio. Are we improving or getting worse? Year one, we're 0.62, 0.41, 0.21, 0.18. So the numbers are getting smaller. Are we getting improving or worse over time? I'll give you a little cheat sheet here. That helps improve my effectiveness as a teacher, I think. Okay, we got most of you there. Okay, remember we wanted less than 0.35, okay? Anything greater than 0.5 was what we considered very risky. Okay, so are these improving or getting worse? Should be improving, huh? Okay, most of you said improving, so that's good. Here's the leverage ratio. We'll just skip it. It's kind of the same thing. Give John enough time to talk. What is a common measure of profitability? Remember I talked about profitability? Is it rate of return on assets, rate of return on equity, net farm income, all of the above or none of the above? How often does a train go through Torrington? About every 20 minutes. All of the above is correct. Okay, what does asset turnover ratio, operating expense ratio, and interest expense ratio measure? Liquidity, solvency, profitability, or financial efficiency? What are we measuring here with these things? How are we measuring? Talked about the assets, the operating inputs, and the interest, the borrowed money. So we're talking about what? You know how much time you need, John? Financial efficiency. We're measuring how efficiently are we using ours. And this is kind of a nice number compared to your neighbors. How efficiently are we using our operating inputs compared to your neighbors, you know? That's what these ratios kind of give you. Okay, so all of you now are what? Certified financial wizards, okay? Now I'm going to turn it over to John. He's going to talk about the availability of this course that I've presented to on the alternative enterprises. Does anybody have any questions related to the alternative enterprise before I turn it over to him?
Here, John.
Oh, I was going to mention here, these are a couple of websites. I know the rightrisk.org is actually on the handout that I give you. The Ag Plan is that if you're thinking about doing a business plan, that's the University of Minnesota, and it's free, currently free, and it's a pretty powerful tool. So that's the website for it if you want to write it down quickly.
So I think these are available on the Right Risk website as well, which is on the handout that we provided there. And the one side of that handout has this diagram on there with the URL at the bottom. So you've got that as part of your materials today. And basically, what this program is a set of programs, an effort by quite a few of us from around the 13 Western states that actually is attempting to develop risk management materials for folks of all different sizes in agriculture. And one of the things that's on this Right Risk website is a simulation that you can go and practice making management decisions with risk management outcomes. So it steps you through a series of production decisions and whatnot, marketing decisions for case study farms and ranches that we've developed. I believe we have 12 different kinds of settings there, all the way from wheat farms to cattle ranches in Wyoming. Crop production in the Bighorn Basin is one that's been done, as well as Chesapeake Bay farm for Maryland as a corn soybeans example. So a diversity of different kinds of enterprises to allow you the opportunity to make these decisions as a producer would do through the production year and then see the risk outcomes and decide for yourself as to whether or not you're helping the farm or ranch get better, in part by looking at some of the financials that Rod's talked about, but also some other statistics and risk measures that are part of what comes out of that simulation. And we also allow you then to run 100 years simulated as to using your decisions as to whether you'd end up using that pattern of decisions over a longer term period of time as to where you would, you know, perform. And so that's the point of this graph, is actually showing how well you'd come out in most years over a period of 100 years as to your decisions and the financial outcome of your operation. Another tool that we've put together recently is a text that actually steps you through a systematic process for analyzing your operation as to the risk that you're taking on, or perhaps risks that you're avoiding, but a strategic process for analyzing that situation, trying to decide for yourself how much risk you're comfortable carrying, what the sources of risk might be to the operation, as well as some tactics, strategies, you might say, for managing those risks over time. And it is published as part of a textbook, and that book is available for sale from the publisher. I guess the thing I find more powerful is the fact that we have a website put together that has over 40 tools available for free that you can actually step through that 10-step process and analyze for yourself using those tools your situation. Okay, so you don't actually have to buy the textbook, but the tools are available, and you can access those again through the Right Risk website. Risk Navigator is the toolbox, basically, it's called, and has its own look and feel there, but a powerful set of materials available only just this last fall. Another effort by those of us involved in this Right Risk program is the development of several different courses, and I mentioned those when we got started, but trying to address a number of different dimensions of the the very complex operations that agricultural enterprises tend to imply. So ranging all the way from insurance products that are available to help transfer risk away from you as the owner-operator to another entity, the looking at the feasibility of alternative enterprises, which we've discussed here a bit today, also looking at the tax advantages of filing an agricultural enterprise on an ag basis versus some other method for filing taxes. It goes through that in a fairly simplistic way to try to help you to understand what the advantages are for filing on an agricultural basis. Another couple of courses there called The Lasting Legacy, designed to help you look at and try to in some ways assist you in getting started with your end-of-life planning, the transfer of a farm and ranch enterprise to another generation is probably one of the things that we would list as a value of most people that are involved in agriculture, and yet we do it poorly. And so this course is designed in a double CD set to help you kind of think through that process in more than just an estate transfer aspect, We look at several other dimensions, including values and so on that you want to pass on to the next generation. Again, as a fairly comprehensive look at that, again, as another source of risk to many of the operations of passing from one generation to the next. And if we don't do it successfully, of course, all the effort that we've put into it prior to that is gone and accrues to somebody else. We have some courses that are addressing specific insurance products. AGR Lite is listed there. We have another one coming out very soon. It's called PRF, is a pasture rangeland forage insurance product that's available through federal crop insurance folks. And then finally, one that's called Getting on Track, which is a record-keeping program, one designed to help you get started if you don't have any records, or to better perhaps track some dimensions of your operation if you haven't been keeping good track of production and marketing and so on, financial records, as Rod just talked about. It helps you to kind of take a look at that and offer some alternatives as part of that course. These are all available online for free as part of that Right Risk website. If you go there, you can access any of these. And so with that, I guess, are there any questions about any of the courses I talked about? We have a copy of the, probably not enough copies, however, but a few copies of the Enterprising Rural, Alternative Enterprise Feasibility course available here on CD. If you'd like to take one, you're certainly welcome to do so. If you'd like to get one and there isn't one left for you, you can certainly email me, John Hewlett. My email and contact information is in the back of the directory there as part of the program. Or you can certainly access all of the materials on the Right Risk website. Again, it's on the web and no cost to you to access it there. And the entire course is available. So, again, any questions for me or Rod in terms of the content that we've covered this afternoon? Well, we didn't solve all of your problems, I'm sure, but our hope is that we've offered you a way to kind of get started taking a more in-depth look at alternatives that you might be considering or thinking about for your own situation. The method that we've offered is a way of kind of making those mistakes on paper as opposed to trying it in real life and finding out that, oh, that wasn't a good idea. And, you know, as brought up a minute ago about trying to do some projection of financials, you know, ideally you would do that. You would research the industry, as we talked about a little bit, and look at what's reasonable in terms of what you could charge and the volume of product that you could sell through and to various different customers. And you might develop some pro forma statements, is what we call them, projections of the various financial statements to see where would you end up. Maybe 1 year, 2 years, maybe even further down the road. Rod and I have access and have used software that's available to agricultural folks to make those kinds of estimates using some computer-based software. It makes it a little bit easier to do that. There's no reason why a person couldn't also do it by hand. And I got to say, I can't overemphasize and encourage you enough to try that, because a number of these kinds of enterprises will get you fairly capital invested down the track that maybe isn't going to work for you. And doing and following a process like we propose can help you avoid some of the mistakes that would come with that. So again, any questions? Go ahead.
Are banks becoming more strict, maybe I say, concerning lending money? They go through all these steps to evaluate your qualification?
I think the answer is yes. Banks are not as free with credit, but agriculture, as I understand it, is not suffering as much as in some other sectors of the economy in terms of the accessibility to credit. Partly because we have a lot of assets backing us. In a lot of cases, it's land that we're going to use, and that tends to be a very valuable asset on the balance sheet, and so the bank will take that into consideration. In terms of what are banks requiring, if you came in with a plan like this, I think they'd jump with joy. You know, I mean, absolutely. There are very few people that have this kind of information. And particularly if it's a new enterprise, they probably would require something very similar to this in the current economic times that we're operating in today. But in general, they like to see pro forma or projected financial statements for agricultural enterprises. And again, if it's something brand new to you, I'm sure that they'll be asking some additional questions. So it's in your best interest, if you really want to try something new like we've suggested here, to put that together ahead of time and go into the bank prepared. Just like was discussed about going to your customer and knowing how to market your product. You know, what is your relative strengths compared to others that maybe, I mean, you have a competitive advantage when you've spent the time to research that and look at it for your own situation versus others. So I hope that answered your question. Anybody else with a question? If not, we thank you all for coming. And if you wouldn't mind filling out that evaluation and leaving on the back table there as you leave, we'd appreciate your input on the program. And the clickers you can leave on the back table as well. Thank you.